kid that grew up in the church here, and he just grew up and sprouted wings and went to Charleston. He was one of our drummers. He was one of our youth group leaders, and he is watching. So we miss you, Vincent, but we're glad for what God is doing in your life, and pray that you're doing okay. And we'll keep praying for Vincent. Glad to see Jen back. Jen spent took a week's vacation in the hospital, and she didn't like it. Eric especially is like, no. Lydia didn't like it. Tyler probably like, yeah, mom's not home, yeah. No, okay, I got it. All right, what is that noise? Is that me? Okay, I don't know. I feel like it's my tummy or something. I've been known to do that. Anyway, let's see, what else? I think that's enough. We'll talk a little bit at the end, and we'll see where God takes us. Let's pray. Jesus, it is a blessing to be together with our family today. We thank you that you have put us in this place for these last 22 years to be a little beacon on this corner and to shine the light into this community and around the world. I just pray that you'll help us keep our eyes on you and not on our circumstances, not on our problems, not on the things going around us in this world that just is so intent on dividing us and making us so opposed to each other. God, we just pray for unity, that we would just lift up the name of Jesus, and from there, that's what we got. That's all we got. Use me today. Use my words, and what I need to say, let me say, and what I don't need to say, shut my mouth. Love you and praise your name. Amen. We're in a series called Thoughts Worth Thinking About. Thoughts Worth Thinking About. And I want to appreciate and thank Bob for filling in for me last week. Again, he does an incredible job. I know we didn't get to see it online, but I did hear, I got his transcript. I read it, and it was good. I heard he was fiery a little bit, so that was good. And I kind of did this number I heard. I can't do it as hard as Bob, but I'm sure it was good. I read it, and I thought he was... Everybody, just go Bob. All right, let's talk about thoughts, thinking about thoughts that we're thinking about. We think so many thoughts. Yeah, I said a couple weeks ago, we think about 80,000 thoughts a day, the average person. 80,000 thoughts a day. And most of them aren't very good thoughts. They're not the thoughts that we're supposed to grab onto. They're the thoughts that really have no meaning in our life. They're just thoughts that are there. Hi, that come, that are supposed to be the thoughts, maybe that are good, but maybe aren't as good. And so, when we're talking about these thoughts, we got to think about what is it that God wants us to dwell on. What is it that God wants us to think in these times? Today we're going to turn our thoughts, and we're going to talk about what should be our view. What do you think about God? What do you think about God? And I don't know if you think about that very much, because probably most of you don't think too often about that. But the question I'm going to throw out as we talk is, what do you think about God? When you think about God, and even when you don't think about God and who He is, it's determined what you think about Him. It determines how you run your life. It determines the direction in which you go. Or if you decide not to think about God and what's His place in your life, it also determines where you don't go in this life. And so I ask you again, what is your view of God today? How big is your God, or how small is your God? Psalm says this, and it should be on the screen, Psalms 145, verse 3. Listen very intently. Great is the Lord, He is worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. Let me say that again. Great is the Lord, He is worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. I'm going to try to pass along some things that God has told us about Himself. I can't tell you a lot of stuff about God because it's personal stuff. It's stuff that I've gleaned about God. And so all I can do is tell you what the Bible says that God says about who he is and what he does and where he wants us to live in this planet that we are now living. And so where does your view of God come from? That there's another question. Where does your view of God come from? Where do you get it? If you get it like a lot of people, your view of God comes from your circumstances. It comes from your circumstances. We're tempted to allow it to shape the way that we think about God because of the good things that happen to us, that there must be a good God. And we can, like Dave Baker can say all the time, God's good, God's good. Or like somebody else that may be in here and your health is failing or financial things are bad or there's turmoil all around you. You may think, where's God? Is there even a God? What's going on with God? Why has he been so quiet? Why doesn't he listen to me? Why doesn't he hear me? Why doesn't he hear the cries of my heart? And so if we let our circumstances rule us, if we let our circumstances guide us and not our view of God, then we have an issue. So where does your view of God come from? I want you really to spend a second about that. Does it come from the teaching that a church taught you growing up? Does it come from something that you mind out of God's word yourself? Does it come from some podcast, from some book, from news? I don't know, some ministry? Because if it does, you have to be very careful. It has to come from what God says about who he is. The truth about my circumstances is I don't know the end of the story. If you take your life and you make it about your circumstances, you don't know what's really going to happen all the way to the end. It's like basing your view of God on a baseball game that you go to, and the first inning, the first pitch, they call it because there's rain, and it's the first time you ever go to a ball game, and you go to the ball game, and you go, this stinks, I hate baseball, it's wet, it's short, there's no purpose in it, and you go, oh, I'm never going to a baseball game again. And that's the way we are treating God, when we take God and we limit him to just the right now, or just to yesterday, or just tomorrow, because God is a God that transcends all time. God is a God that has the same plan yesterday that he does today, and he will have tomorrow for you and for me. If your view of God is based on your circumstances, you're missing out on who God is. Really, really is. And the good news is this today, church. We don't have to guess about who God is. God has told us about himself. He's given us his word, and it is enough. It is what you need to know to guide your life. So based on the fact that God showed up, that he sent his son, if you're in church any amount of time, you can say, I understand those things. And we're going to spend the rest of our time today looking at ways to change your thinking by the view of God that you have. Because if your view of God is based on something in the here and now, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I just hope that somewhere in this message that something reminds you how great the love of God is for you, how much he loves you, how much he cares about you, no matter what you're going through, getting ready to go through, or just went through. There's three things I want you to take home today about looking at your view of God. The first one is this. You have to accept his unconditional love. You have to accept his unconditional love. Let me talk about that a little bit. I want to know, have you really accepted his unconditional? Well, yeah, I know God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible. You learned that when you were a kid, right? Right, right, okay, yeah, I got it. But have you really, is it in your DNA of how you look at God and how he loves you? The book of James tells us, we just did a whole, we went through the whole summer and we went through the whole book of James. And it says, God is love. It's where love comes from. God is love. What is love? God. God is love. And it's a gift. It's not earned. It's not something that you can dance for and get or act nicer or kinder or better or what. It's not any of that. It's a gift from God, because God, who is love, loved us. It's not conditional in anything you do. Ephesians 2:8 says this: For it is by God's grace you've been saved by faith in the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that nobody can boast about it. So that no one can boast about it. Well, I got God's love. Do you? Oh, you don't got it. No. It's what God gives us. You can't earn it. You say, well, Jeff, I get that. Do you? Do you? You have to earn a living, but you can't earn love. You have to earn a living, but you can't earn love. You can't earn hope. You can't earn grace or assurance or forgiveness or faith. They're a gift from God, and God wants to give this gift into your life. And he's given you this gift of life, and we treat it like it's something that can be lost. Once you accept it, I mean, it really begins to transform your life. Once you understand that he loves you unconditionally, it transforms you, because this peace comes in that floods your life, that just overwhelms you, that says there's nothing I can do that's going to make God love me any more or any less. Whew, that's comforting. Romans 5:1 says this: Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ the Lord has done for us. Why do we have that peace? It's what Jesus did, not what I do. I can't bring peace. Do you understand why so many of you don't have peace? Because you're not seeking Jesus. You're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to get it yourself, and you will not medicate yourself enough to bring peace. You can get yourself into a stupor with anything, with any medication, with any alcohol, with anything that's out there, and it won't bring peace. We've got to accept his unconditional love. Unconditional means there's nothing you can do to earn it. Now listen, church. It also means there's nothing you can do to lose it. If he gives it to you, it's yours. And there's nothing you're going to do to lose it. It's never going to be taken away. Never, ever, ever, never. That should be comforting for some of you today. Because so many people, here's what I find. So many of our older folks, they come to that end time of their life. And they go, I don't know if I did enough. I don't know if I'm going to get into heaven. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you ask Jesus? And you're like, yes. Didn't you serve? Yes. Well, then it's not what you did. It's what Jesus did. Your pass into heaven is not based on anything what you do or say, other than this fact of saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Here's my heart. Here's my spirit. Take me. Hebrews says this. I've got a lot of scripture, because you don't care about what I say. You've got to care about what scripture says. Otherwise, what I say makes no difference at all. I'm just the assimilator, assimilating it all together here today for you. Hebrews says this in 13:5. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you. Is there anybody here today a little lonely? Is there anybody here today that's going, nobody cares about me? That scripture was for you, because our God is for you. See, sometimes what we do to ourselves is say, we do these never things. I'm never going to be like my dad. You ever said that? Huh? Yes? Five of you? I'm never going to be like my mom. You know, I'm never going to drive a minivan. We got 4.3 kids. Oh, we got to get a minivan. You know, our never is not like God's never. God's never is never. It means never. Never, ever, ever. Our never changes. It ebbs and it flows. God says, I want to pour my love onto you, church. Your job is to open up your arms and say, love me, God. Love me, because right now I don't feel lovable. Love me, God, because right now I don't understand. Love me, God, because right now I'm a mess. I'm broken. I don't know what we're going to do. Love me, God. And the things that are going to happen, God will already taken care of that already. You cannot lose God's love. Take that home today. The second thing I want you to take home is we got to trust his judgment. We got to trust his judgment. And we have to. We have to start trusting that when God has a plan and a purpose, we've got to get in line with it and say, that's what the God who made me is doing, and I choose to walk in that path with him. I just want to say that most people have this backwards. Most of us have this backwards when we say trust his judgment. We really do want to understand God, and we understand what it means to his wisdom and his grace and his mercy. And we really want to understand that God created everything, and if he created everything, then he understands everything. And if he understands everything, he's got it. Whatever it is you're going through, he's got it. God knows best for every single situation, and he knows what is best for me, and that blows my mind. My mind's not very big, but it blows it. It blows it away. He's the one to determine what's good and bad. And to put it simply, here's how the best I can sum this up. God's judgment is always always right. Who are you to question it? Who are you to question God's judgment for you? But yet you do it every day. Well, God, he didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean that. He's the one who gets to determine what's good and bad because he put you together. He put you together before you were even born in your mother's womb, the Bible says. He formed you exactly how he wanted you to be. Now, some of life's circumstances have come hard at all of us, and we choose to trust him, or we choose to try to find another way to take it. That's why the jails are full. That's why there's so much mental health issues going on today. That's why there's so much turmoil amongst us, because people have chose not to listen to the designer. They have chose to take what the designer said, this is what's best for the product that I made, do this and you will be able to walk through it. I didn't say you'll be able to have a perfect life. He did say it, but you will be able to walk through it. Romans 9:20 says this. Who in the world, I love this version, it's a little different version. If you're wondering where this version is, I think that's the message, but listen to this. Who in the world do you think you are to second guess God? Do you for one moment suppose that any of us knows to call God into question? And then he says this little ditty at the end of it. He says this. Clay doesn't talk back to the fingers that mold it, saying, hey, why did you make me like this? That's a little snarky, isn't it? But it's true. Why'd you make me like this? Because he had a plan and a purpose, and he knows why you're supposed to be doing, even when it's hard, even when it's painful. It's always the right time to do the right thing. Always, always, always. Whatever situation you walked into this room with today, however you came into this room, God understands. God already has a solution for you. He wants you to come to him to find what that is. He wants you to go to his word. He wants you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to then do what the Holy Spirit directs you to do. Most of the time, we might do the first step or two, but the doing part, nah. You want me to give 10% of my income? What? Nah. You want me to come? You want me to tell people about who you are? Nah. I don't think so. I know better. I know better. You want me to spend my time thinking about you? Nah. Nah, 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 nah. What situation that you're going through right now do you think that God doesn't understand? But you treat him like he doesn't. We treat him like he doesn't get it. John 3:17 says this: God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world guilty. He came to save the world. He came to save us. He didn't come to hurt us. He didn't come to punish us. He came to save us. Hebrews 12:17 says, be patient when you're corrected. This is how God treats his kids. Don't all parents correct their children? No. No, they don't. Not all parents correct their children. A lot of parents try to be a buddy. I'm a buddy. Hey, buddy, I want you to like me. I want you to love me. How's that working for some of you? God does not punish his kids. God corrects his kids. He disciplines his kids. That is our lot too. You better be correcting your children. You better be disciplining your children. But you should not be punishing them. Punish is what a lot of you grew up with. Yelling and screaming, I'm going to kill you. How's that going? How did that go for you? You know, where do you go from? I'm going to kill you. Well, if she's going to kill me, I'll just go for the bonus, you know. She didn't kill me last time. I guess she won't kill me this time. Whenever we disobey God, we unwillingly invite danger into our lives because we're putting pressure on this vehicle that was never meant to have that pressure, because God knew what this vehicle could take. He knew what this mind could hold. He knew what this heart and this spirit, when he made you, he knew what you could walk through. He will walk through it with you if you will allow him. Proverbs says this in 14:12. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. It ends in death. And a lot of us have chosen Jesus people. Listen, Jesus people, a lot of Jesus people have chosen the path that ends in death. And when you choose that path, be very, very careful and say, God, I need to open up my life. Get me back on the path where you want me to be. And Proverbs 3:6 says this, think about him, that's God, in all your ways, and he will guide you in right paths. Who will? He will. He will guide you. Not you will guide you. Not what everybody else is doing. Not what the whole freaking world is doing, but what he wants you to do. God is not a warden. Listen to me. He's not a warden to escape. He is a father to trust in. A lot of you are treating him like a warren. He's got his thumb out. He doesn't want me to do this. He doesn't want me to have fun. He doesn't want me to do that. Well, I'll show him. See, he's not a warden, because wardens keep us locked up. God gives us, here's your world. Here's the orchard. Go, go, go into the world. Lastly, the last thing I want you to take home today. Understand his timing. Understand his timing. Brenda and I were coming back from vacation. I got to tell this real quickly because it just reiterates his timing is so different than ours. We left Destin. It's only about a 12-hour drive, 13-hour drive from where, if you drive straight, and we drive straight a lot because that's not usually much. I like driving. So it's a quick shot. On the way coming back, everything that could go wrong went wrong. We went to McDonald's. Brenda was hungry, and she wanted a McMuffin or something, and we got it. And they said, well, would you just pull over in the line? Yeah, no problem, no problem, no problem. So we pulled over in the number one spot. We're sitting there, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I said, Brenda, I'm going in. So I walk in. They said, well, yeah, it's coming. I'm like, 30 minutes? Oh, I'll go back there and I'll make it. Yeah, I was kind, but I'm like, 30 minutes. So I'm going to wait because my wife is hungry and I'm not going across the street because going across the street is going to take another 20 minutes to get across. So I'm like, I'll wait. 15 minutes later, we get our food. What is he doing? Well, a little bit further down the road, horrible accident. We prayed, God, please be like, well, that could have been us. That could have been us. That's why we didn't get our food. So I'm all griped up about, you know, not getting food quick. Time after, we went to a gas station. It was a mess. We went to another gas station. She got sick. It 16 hours later, we're home. And like, what? Wow. It was crazy. We have to understand his timing. He always knows about timing. We hate timing because we want it. I'm going to do like Bob. Now! Ouch. How did you do that? We want it now! We want this now, God. Let's bring it out. The reality is there's a lot of horrible things that we all endure. And there's nothing good about the horrible things that some of you are going through or getting ready to go through. And some of you, I know you dragged yourselves in here today and you're going, what is going to happen to us? We don't have two sticks to rub together. What's going to happen to us? We don't have this. This is going to happen. And then what's going to happen? And I want you to understand, it's not about your circumstances. It's about God's timing. The first of the ball game just started for you. Remember that. It's not the whole ball game. It's not the whole ball game. Why hasn't God put a stop to this yet? Why does God keep allowing this? Why does this keep happening in my life? Why isn't God giving me the things that I need for this to come to an end? Why is it taking so long? Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because God has a timetable for you and for your life. If I were to sit down and say to you, let's go watch a movie, and it starts usually with, you know, all movies kind of start with the background and character development, and then it leads into some kind of conflict between good and evil and some kind of problem and some kind of tension happens. And if I were to stop right there and let's just shut it off, most of you would say, well, why are you doing that? He'd say, what are you doing? Well, I want to know how it ends. And I want to say, This is how God resolves things, because we're all in the middle of our thing. Whatever it is you're going through, you're in the middle of it, and you don't know how it's going to end, but God does. God understands how it's going to end. You say, what are you doing? 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord isn't slow about keeping his promises, as some people think he is." Doubting the manufacturer? In fact, God is patient because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost. He wants no one to be lost. See, we think that God is slow. We think that God is just not acting. We think that God is just sitting up there on his thumbs and he is acting. He is doing what he is going to do, and he's going to do it in your life. He's going to do it in this country's life. He's going to do it in this world's life. No matter how many people try to blow up each other with bombs, with words, with machine guns, with guns, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't slow in keeping his promises. Please remember that. Because Isaiah then puts it this way, 55:8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. You think? My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And your ways are far beyond thinking anything you could imagine. Really? Yes. How many times has God played that out in your life? And you take it still for granted. The stupid Israelites went through this stupid, horrible time in their life. Time after time after time, they saw a plague come. Time after time after time, he split back the ocean. Time after time after time, he took care of them. What did they say? What have you done for us today? We're hungry. Do something for me, God, right now. Need it now. There's a really important principle here. God bless you, buddy. There's a really important principle here at play. Every time I doubt God's timing, it reveals a missing piece in the understanding of my God. Don't check out. This is important. Do not check out. Stop thinking about lunch, okay? Every time I doubt God's timing, it reveals a missing piece in the understanding of who God is. This concept translates to everything I wait for. When I was waiting for a spouse years ago, like some of you are today, I had to say to him, before I get my spouse, I give you this relationship. I want to find everything in who you are before I go find some other person to add to the mix. And it's going to really mix it up when I bring Mr. Right Now or Mrs. Right Now into the mix. It's going to really mix it up. I've got to trust him in that. When I was waiting for financial help, and I have waited for financial help many times in my life to make it to the next day, to the next stage, God was saying, I want you to realize that I have unlimited resources. I can take care of your needs. In the waiting, I have the opportunity to find something that's so very valuable. And you have the opportunity to find something that is so incredibly valuable. And this is the tidbit I want you to take home. That God is greater than what he gives me. God is greater than what he gives me. And many of us, we treat it the other way around. That what he gives me is greater than God. Because if he's not going to give it to me, I'm not going to really trust him. God wants you to put trust in him, to give him the right time, to give him the right answers. Our misunderstanding about God's timing spills out on our misunderstanding of who God is. It says if we're waiting at one door and we're waiting for all these packages, and we say we've asked God, God, I need this. God, I need this. Deliver this for me. Give this to me. And we're waiting for his deliveries to come. And we're checking our Amazon list. And we're there checking this. And we're waiting for the delivery guy. And we're just so backwards because we think that what he's delivering is more valuable than him. And that hurts his heart. That hurts his heart when we make God small, when we make God into a delivery driver, when we make him not into our, when he wants us to make him into our deliverer. He's your deliverer. He is not your delivery dude. Stop treating him like your delivery dude. Will you use the waiting time that some of you are going through or getting ready to go to? Will you use it to take advantage of God's kindness and his love? There's a verse I found, and it has nothing to do with the rest of my message, but I thought I want to give this to some of you, because time and time again, I've stood up here and I begged you people, please go to the Word. And you say, okay, I go to the Word, and I get it, and I don't understand it. I've read it, and I don't know what to do. Listen to this verse. It should come up on here. Luke 24:45. Then Jesus opened their minds. This is a couple of his disciples. So they could understand the scriptures. Do you know what may be missing from you today? You haven't asked God to open your mind to take his scripture, the things that we say here, the things that you read at home, the music that you listen to, and say, God, open up my mind. I don't understand the Bible, Jeff. Okay, start there. Doesn't make sense. Start there. God has a mission for you. The Bible is not a history book. There's a lot of history in it. It is a love letter. It is a love letter to you and to me and to people who hate him right now, to people that hate you because you love God. It's a love letter to them. It's no fun reading somebody else's love letter. This love letter is to you. It is not to somebody else. So you've got God's Word, and you've got God's Spirit. God has sent himself into your life. You have everything you need to take the thoughts that are in here and bring them out here to be his hands and his feet. You don't need a revival. You don't need any. You need to say, God, open up my mind to the scriptures, and I'll go where you want me to go. And all you need to do is say, yes, yes. So as we end, you say, Holy Spirit, I want you in my life. I want you to help me understand who God is. I don't understand. I want you to help me understand this. So many of you have been scratching your head and going, what in the blue devil is going on in this country? What is happening in our world? And you have to go back to keep your eyes off that stuff and come back to, what is God doing in me? What does he want me to do in my little spot? He takes your little and makes it so, so big. And so as the band comes, I end with this scripture that I spent at the beginning this morning. Psalms 145:3. Listen. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. That's who he is. Let's pray. And we're going to have our ministry time.